Hello, and welcome to Paint and Coatings Industry Magazine's Coat It podcast. I'm Kristen Johansson, Editor-in-Chief here at PCI. Today we are talking about driving innovation by collaborating with others. As many companies know, meeting the technical and product needs of all of your customers can be very challenging, especially if R&D resources are constrained or you do not have the right in-house expertise to deliver a timely response. A faster technology solution to some of your needs might be found outside of your company. Joining me today to talk about collaboration are two women from the ChemQuest Group. Dr. Vicky Scarborough is the newly appointed Vice President of Collaborative Innovation, and Edie Fox Abrams is Vice President Business Development at ChemQuest. Hi, Vicky and Edie. We are all currently quarantined and working remotely due to the coronavirus pandemic. How are you guys holding up?
Hi, Kristen. Good morning. Vicky Scarborough here. I am doing well, staying focused on tasks at hand, and basically staying inside, and I hope everyone else is as well.
And hi, Kristen, this is Edie. I am actually realizing how much I enjoy my home. Usually I'm traveling quite a bit, and I don't get to spend too much time in my home base. And one of the benefits that I'm finding from this quarantine or isolation work at home scenario is just enjoying being where I am right now.
I agree. I'm enjoying it as well. Okay, well, let's jump right into our discussion. Vicky, what is collaborative innovation?
The collaborative innovation is the idea that working with others, just as you said in your introduction, can help accelerate your innovation platforms. And that is finding your needs and then figuring out who might be useful to work with, and then setting up those relationships and collaborating in a way that drives your innovation forward.
So what value can it bring to businesses?
I'll answer this one. I think that for the coatings industry, collaborative innovation is an answer for the changing landscape. The last decade has seen so much consolidation in our industry. You know, gone are the small niche manufacturers that a large coatings company could partner with to fill a gap in their product line. Gone are the uniquely talented chemists working in those companies who had the opportunity to tinker and develop something revolutionary. So I speak from the experience of being the second generation owner of a company, Fox Industries. I'm one who chose to sell. And in recent years, in coatings and beyond, the term open innovation became the buzzword for the way companies utilize their own resources to source innovation at the polymer level, at the additive level, and formulated products. And we coined the term collaborative innovation because we see the need and the benefit and the value of an independent third party collaborating with both companies seeking innovation and innovators seeking companies.
Yes, and in addition, you know, the collaborative innovation can help you, you know, maybe reduce some of the pressure from supply chain needs that you have right now. Maybe something is missing that you can't find and you need help finding it. You need more bandwidth in your organization due to the changing times as we are right now. And, you know, just try to move ahead of your competition. That's the value that a collaboration with others can bring to your organization.
Why would a company get help to do these things?
You really may need to free up your resources internally, as I said. Times are changing, and you may have constraints on your resources, and you may need to still move your business forward, but you may not have the resources available now, particularly in these times, to do that work. And you may not have that expertise either, and so you need to have help from outside your organization to get things done.
You also may not know exactly how far outside of your normal scope of business to look for innovation. And if you are collaborating with a third party to do this, chances are their scope, their world is larger than yours, and can find a more infinite route to discovering innovation.
How do companies that need to innovate in order to sustain growth best determine what to scout for?
Well, you know, there can be a whole list of needs within a company based on customer needs and so forth. And so you need to kind of get together and decide what's most important. So I usually call that a focus area. What are you going to focus on? And that's the opportunities for commercialization that really are strategic for your business units and, you know, align with their plans for growth and so forth. So defining what those focus areas are is the first thing that you need to do. And then gathering those needs and seeing how they align with your business plans is important in order to know what to scout for outside of your organization. So as things break very fast in the marketplace these days, and you may have a competitor that introduces a new product, or you may have a disruption that you didn't anticipate in your supply chain. And so you'll need to react very fast. And so sometimes your focus is pretty obvious, especially if it's a huge pain point for the organization. So you look for those pain points that you have, and you focus on those. And that's really where you want to put time and energy into scouting for solutions for those problems.
What are some good places for a company to find new innovation and technology?
I really found that the startup communities are ripe with innovations that are disruptive and interesting. Not all might be useful, but you know, you need to take a look at them. But certainly, the startup communities generally have innovations that came out of the universities, and the federal government funds universities to develop technology, and they're very interested in commercializing that technology, which is why the startup communities have become, you know, bigger. And so those are great sources for looking for answers to particularly new technologies. But federal labs and research institutes are definitely another source for innovation. There's a lot going on right now in the terms of collaborating with others to beat back the coronavirus. And so you can see a lot of examples happening in the market right now, you know, very, very much in today's world, the need for collaborative innovation. And so you look for these answers when you have a focus, and you can determine where those answers might be. And so the startup communities, the universities, the research institutes, the federal laboratories, these are all great places where innovations are being developed every day and may have the answer that you're looking for in terms of your pain point.
I'd say also networking amongst similar people in other organizations. So we've found that there are titles such as, you know, external technology developer or the leader of an innovation platform. And there are networking associations where people from, you know, other companies come together and they get to know each other. It helps them expand what their job roles are, but also in those conversations, often one company may have technology that may benefit another, and, you know, otherwise they never would have met. So a lot of networking opportunities can lead to growth discussions as well.
Yeah, and in those networking events, you often meet people in other areas, like, for example, cosmetics. If you find a technology innovation scout for a cosmetic company and you begin to talk to them, you realize that there may be solutions in the cosmetic arena that you had no idea might work in the paint arena, but sometimes leveraging into other markets and other areas where they're very similar, inks and cosmetics and plastics and so forth, there may be answers to your problem lying in another market. So being able to network, as Edie says, is really important, because you'll come across things that might be of value.
Taking all of this into account, what is the best way for a company to collaborate with others?
Well, I think once you've identified a partner particularly, there's a lot of key questions you need to ask of that organization in order to determine whether or not it's a good fit. And the first thing that I've always considered important is, you know, what is their status with intellectual property? If they have something unique, is it something that, you know, my organization could use exclusively or license it from the collaboration partner? And the collaboration partner might be a university startup, and the university might own part of that patent. And so you need to know, you know, who owns the IP and so forth. The other thing is, where is the technology in its readiness? So let's say you've gotten something that's really early stage. It may not have a proof of concept yet. You may not want to start there. You may want to start at a place in the middle where there's been a demonstration of the technology so that there's at least some data to look at and understand if it provides you with benefits. The other thing is, you know, you want to determine, you know, the leadership, who's running the organization. Are they quality people? Do they understand what they're doing? And the final thing that I think is important, especially when you want to test something, is what availability of samples are there? Is there enough material that you can actually look at it and test it? And sometimes you have to pay for those samples because startups are running hand to mouth. And so you really need to understand who you're dealing with in terms of collaborating. And the other thing I also want to mention is that because startups are usually the people that you work with in these situations, you're on timelines that are drastically different. And so you may be going through several layers of your organization to get approvals to do things, whereas there's two people in a startup and they're running, trying to get things moving. So the timelines and the way that they operate are totally different. So, and the universities are the same way. So a good technology scout bridges those two areas so that you can get them working together and in sync and keep communication going so that everybody's on the same page.
These are all some really great ideas. My last question for you both is, how does a company determine they have found the solution to their problem?
They have to vet the technology. They have to ensure that the technology fits into their process, that they can effectively turn it into a commercialized product that the market is ready to accept.
So in doing that, they have to perhaps look at unconventional test methods. For example, if you have a material that's from a different area, as I mentioned earlier, leveraging from one market to another. So you use a cosmetic, an encapsulated material from a cosmetic area, for example. Will that work in paint? Well, you may have to really try to use some unconventional test methods to figure that out and be open to looking at those materials in a different way. And you need to have someone doing that work that's skilled in the arts, because a new person who's never done any kind of vetting before is probably not, doesn't have the deep skill set of a seasoned bench chemist to evaluate these materials. So you really need someone who's senior in the organization as a chemist to vet the technologies and determine whether or not they have value and that they are actually doing what they say they do.
These are all some really, really interesting ideas. I want to thank you both for talking with me today on this topic. I think we can all agree that most companies want and need to innovate, but the idea of collaborating with others may not be front and center in their minds. So thank you for sharing your thoughts and ideas with our audience today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
PCI will be featuring an in-depth article by Vicky on innovating through collaboration in our July issue, so keep an eye out for that. Thanks for joining us and listening to our Code It podcast. Until next time.